As we all think about the next steps in our life for spiritual growth, would you just ask the Lord what He wants you to do and then do it? As a church, we are contemplating some rearranging of schedule to help prioritize the importance of being a part of a small group. Because you mentioned how important relationships are. Thank you. And, you know, we can come in and worship and then leave and not even know each other's names. But there is so much healing that takes place that the Holy Spirit administers through the hands and feet of His body, the church. Amen. And I know we don't want to say or act as though Jesus can't do some things. And so we tend to think sometimes, I'm just going to trust Him and I'm going to do what I'm going to do and then hope for the best. But He invites us to put action to our faith and to inquire of Him as to the next steps for our life. And I just want to encourage you, if you have been thinking about where you're at in your spiritual life, maybe you've come to a place or a wall and you can't go any further and you've been there for several months or years even, I want to encourage you to begin thinking about joining a small group. And I'll be sharing more about that as we get closer to June 3rd, which I think we may potentially have a new kind of a summer schedule as a church to open the door for some increased participation in small groups. But it's all Jesus. I'd like to kind of pick up where we left off last week, and that is in John. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn there, John chapter 4, verses 21 through 26. We pick up with Jesus' interaction with a woman at a well called Jacob's Well in a town called Sychar in the region of Samaria. This is a very interesting interaction. For one, the woman was completely surprised that Jesus would interact with her because he was Jewish and she was Samaritan, and she was a woman and he was a male. And back in those days, she was just shocked that he would interact with her, let alone respect her and value her. And as a result, it became very easy for her to talk to him in John chapter 4. And we begin to get this idea that Jesus can see right into her heart. And she knows that. But that isn't threatening to her. In fact, instead of arming up and being defensive, she begins to disarm. She's been respected and loved without condition. And Jesus begins to do something in her life. Last week we talked about living well our past. Today we're talking a little bit about today, living well, and tomorrow, or next Sunday, our future. But the living well is Jesus. Jesus said, if you drink from the water I give, I'll make a well of water in you, springing up to eternal life. Let's read John chapter 4, verses 21 through 26. This follows Jesus beginning to interact with this woman, and she's beginning to open up, and all kinds of things are coming out, and yet she's okay with that. Have you ever been with somebody that you just find so easy to talk to, and you're walking away and thinking, oh my, I just shared so much. They didn't say hardly anything, and yet I just feel like I could tell them everything. I think that's how this woman felt as she spent time with Jesus. He was different. John 20, chapter 4, verse 21, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I, the one who speaks to you, I am he." Here we are talking about worship. And for this woman, she has been thinking all along that since he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan, that sooner or later this whole topic of worship was going to come up, because the Jews, after all, said you've got to worship in Jerusalem at the temple at least several times a year. And the Samaritans rather worshiped on a mountain outside of Jerusalem. And she knew, because he was a prophet, that sooner or later it was going to come up anyway. And so she began to talk to him about worship. And instead of pointing her to a place, he directed her to look inside. Sammy, would you turn the monitors down up here just a little bit? I'm getting a little feedback. You see, a changed heart lies at the center of God's will for us. Just let that sink in for a minute. That's why we sang that song that we sang earlier, "Change My Heart, Oh God." That ought to be our prayer every day, amen? A changed heart lies at the center of God's will for us. You see, we can do all kinds of surfacey things. We can feed the poor, we can give in the offering, we can do all kinds of things. But unless our heart is changed, we're missing the point. This was true from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. God's will, after Adam and Eve sinned and all kinds of repercussions happened in our world because of that sin and are still happening. In fact, we understand that we are born in sin because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It was true from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. God's will became to save man from his choices, to save him from his first death, which was the physical death, and to save him from that propensity or that bent or that leaning to continue to sin. That propensity in man to resist God, even after we've given him all of our sins, there lies many times in the heart of men and women and children and all of us this propensity to continue to choose to go against God. Even though we know that we shouldn't, there's still this struggle in our heart for who's going to be Lord of our lives. So God's plan became to not only save man from his actual sins, but to save him, to change his heart. Amen? To change that want to sin to a desire to follow God's will and to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. Salvation from the nature and even the desire to sin, that wrestle with God, Changing our heart lies at the center of God's will for us. Amen. We believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and that He is capable to cleanse us of our sin and worthy to be Lord of our lives. Every area of our life. For this woman, all she knew about religion was that her people were considered second-rate citizens in the eyes of the Jews. She had equated discrimination with religion. She knew about the centralization of worship. She knew that that her people worshipped on this mountain and the Jews worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem. So in her mind, it was centralized, was tied to a geographic location, and that it was all tied to history about what God did in this tribe and what God did in that tribe and how the peoples and the clans, they came together or separated, and it was confusing, this religion, this worship thing. That's why it came up in this woman's life, because Jesus was hitting really close to home. She was opening her heart, and she realized that worship was a big part of this conversation. Jesus communicated to her respect and value. She was shocked. She said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman, and yet you're talking to me?" That's earlier in John chapter 4. Number two, Jesus initiated a spiritual conversation that related to her everyday life. Before long, she was telling him about her past. And though she might have been humbled by that, she felt that she was not judged, but rather loved. Amen? So she kept talking. And she kept getting it out there because she was in the presence of someone who loved her unconditionally, and she felt safe. Oh, what a precious gift that is, amen, to have people like that in our lives that we can just be real with, amen? That's this group of characters right here. That's a few of the goofballs here at Living Well Church. And he went further than that. He offered her living water. And he equated the need of physical water, that she needs it, but she'll thirst again if that's all she ever drinks. And then he talked to her about living water that will be a quench for her soul. Then he conversed with her about her current situation, you know, what was going on at home. And then he began to help her cut through the clutter of layers of topical treatments of the symptoms that she had been trying to bandage and heal all by herself. And she begins to move to the heart of the matter, worship in spirit and in truth. God's will for us is a changed heart. I know that may sound simple, but it's sinking in even deeper in me as we talk. You see, Jesus said that a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. Worship happens 24/7. But religion is not the center of worship. rather relationship with God is the center of worship. Jesus said that true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. It all starts in the heart and moves to every area of our life. It all starts in the heart and moves to the different areas of our life. Emotions, emotional health, mental health, impacts how I perceive my body, that it becomes, I see it now not as just something to keep comfortable, but I see it as an instrument that God has given me to become a steward of His will. My relationships, I see them not as something that I have so that I can get what I want, but I see them as gifts and graces and beautiful hands and feet bringing the good news of God into my life. It affects how I think. Jesus said, "Cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you." You mean that there may be some peace for my mind? As Jesus says, yes, I bring help and healing in every area of your life. That's the ancient message of holiness. Be holy, Jesus said, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. It means a complete change. God is at the center, and He's affecting everything in our life. The true worshiper is letting God in. It may happen here, it may happen with your journal at home, it may happen in a park, it may happen in a boat, it may happen while you're driving to work, it could happen at your desk, it could happen. But you see, the true worshiper happening 24/7, worship happening all the time, is letting God in. Thank God that He corrected her understanding. It's not about going there or doing that or being a part of this group or being a part of that group. It's about letting God in. Amen. God's will for us is a changed heart. And He brings help and healing in every area of our lives. Our emotions that we have been used to putting bandages on by entertainment. I hurt, therefore I will flood myself with entertainment. Finances. My finances are a wreck, so I put the bandage on of one loan after another, and it never gets to the heart. Physical. I don't feel good, so I apply substances, or I don't want to feel the pain of getting this body moving again and activities, so therefore I'll let it be inactive. Or overactivity. I don't like how it feels to be quiet because then I have to deal with stuff. And so I'm very active. Or certain types of food just make me feel better for a moment. But I'll apply these bandages over these symptoms and just keep getting wrapped up, kind of walled up. Wrapped up with all of this stuff, and pretty soon I am so buried. I may turn to religion and I may think, how could I ever make sense of that? How could I ever find peace in racial squabbles and history? And would I have to know everything? And Jesus cuts to the matter. He cuts to the heart. Amen? God's will for us is a changed heart. And it happens as we worship, because as we worship, we let God in. in our heart. And the heart at the center of us, well, it touches everything about us, our soul. Our emotions are attached to the heart. How we see our body is attached to the heart. How we think is attached to the heart, the soul. So we let God in to these most heavily guarded blockades and fortresses of our life. Because as we let him in, we find that he can be trusted. And this letting God into the different areas of our life, the different locked doors, the different closets that we've kept locked and hidden away so that nobody will ever figure out what's in there, as we let him in, it leads to holiness. Being holy like him. Holistic. Holy. Every area of our life, unguarded to God, I let him in. And he begins to bring about his healing. Now, it may be slow. Let's face it. We are really good at building walls and bandaging up and treating the symptoms. Take a pill. I mean, that's what we do here in America. But the will of God for us is a changed heart. Reminds us of the importance of not merely treating the symptoms of problems, but the need for addressing the condition of the heart. If you had a house and you were restoring it, and you said, oh, there's a crack in the plaster right there. And you went to Ace Hardware and you got tape and you got spackle and you got all the tools you needed, and you got up on that ladder and you started patching that crack, and then you got some paint and you painted it and you walked away, and a month later you look up there and say, I thought I patched that. There it is again. It's a little wider this time. So you get up there and you patch it again. You go through all of the work of patching it. It's painted. You sit down and say, man, my place looks great. And a year later, it's back again. Worse. And now you've got all of that old patchwork to dig off. And you think, this time I'm really going to patch it up good. I'm going to use more tape and I'm going to use more mud. And I'm going to be... This time I'm going to do it right. I'm going to learn all about patching. So I watch YouTube videos. I look at Pinterest. I get the dummy's guide to patching plaster. And I get it done. And it looks awesome. And I invite my friends over to look at the patchwork that I've done. And they say, that looks awesome. Would you come patch my walls? And you say, yes, I would. And 6 months later, you're sitting there, and you look up, and there is that blasted crack again. You're like, what am I doing wrong? I have learned everything there is to learn about patching cracks. I'm an expert. I've got it down. And then someone who's been walking with Jesus a while comes over and says, have you looked at the foundation? What? And sure enough, at the heart of the problem is a cracked foundation that is crumbling away. We love to treat the symptoms, but we are scared sometimes of going so deep. And to think that God himself would want to do something so deep is a little bit unnerving sometimes. And we begin to wonder, would I even be who I am now today Would I not be who? I don't even know what the future would look like if I let God change my heart. But His will for us is a changed heart. Worship. Letting God in to be God. Letting Him in to be my Savior, and letting Him in to help me make the decisions of my life. Amen. The Lordship of Christ. So true worshipers are allowing God to peel back the layers and allowing God to bring help and healing to every area of their life. Worship team, would you come on up? Desalyn Kennebrew wrote in Christianity Today of the priority of worship. She says, worship is not the songs that we sing. Worship is not the amount that you place in the offering basket. Worship is not about volunteering for children's church. Yes, these may be expressions of worship, but they do not define what worship truly is. There's a lot of definitions about worship, yet one in particular encapsulates the priority which we should give to worship as a spiritual discipline, and that is this. I like it. It's from 1828, Webster's Dictionary. It says, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. True worship, in other words, is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is on our list of priorities. True worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. As we let God in, everything, Steve, will be brought under the microscope. Because as I let God in worship, I see myself scarily clear. Because I'm seeing me through His eyes. And I see things that really, really need redemption and salvation. So as I worship 24/7, letting God in, He changes me. Every area of my life, He changes me and brings about His help and healing. When we offer God our true worship, we are inviting Him to inspect our hearts for anything that's not like Him. This is the promise of worship. We can be transformed into God's likeness because He will reveal the truth about the condition of our hearts as we worship Him. So, no pun intended, but living well begins with worship. Living the life that God has called us to live and invited us to participate in begins with letting God in. You won't cease to worship as you leave here this morning. Amen. You will continue worshiping all week long. You'll just be worshiping with other people when you come back here next Sunday. But we'll continue to worship and we'll continue to let God in. And He'll continue to change and bring about help and healing in our lives. It's not about a 10:30 Sunday morning experience, but rather a personal interaction at the well of Jesus. Jesus, the living well. Drink from the water I give, Jesus said, and you'll never thirst again. As we allow God to speak to us. I found a hymn. It's called Cleanse Me. And I'd like to invite us to sing it together as kind of a prayerful invitation to God to let Him in my heart, all of our hearts. So here again, we could sing this song and sing it good and miss the point. Let's open our hearts to Him as we sing. Would you stand together? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. My passion, self, and pride, I now surrender, Lord, in Thee abide. Let's sing that third verse again without the instruments. Lord, take my life, just the voices. That verse that we just sang, here we go. Let's sing it as our prayer.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride, I now surrender, Lord, in Thee abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Send the revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humble.
Pray. Thank you, Lord. We end our time together just thanking You. And we invite you in to the center of our lives and bring about the changed heart from top to bottom, from side to side, every part of our life, Lord, complete change, that we may reflect your image, the image with which we've been created. Help us, Lord, to have the faith to let you peel back the bandages that we've tried to topically treat, the deepest wounds of our heart. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, we give you the honor and the praise for the help and healing that you're bringing into every area of our life. And Lord, send people to walk along beside us, people that love and respect and care, and people that we can be an open book with. And lead us, Lord. Thank you for the hands and feet of your Son Jesus in the church today. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit at work in our hearts now. We say yes to you. Yes, Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Dan's reminding me that we have those of you who are going on the fishing trip, please meet up here for about a 5-minute session right over here as we get ready to go. I've got the Dramamine all purchased, Dan. I didn't get a life jacket. I'm counting on you to throw me a life jacket if I end up in the drink. And I got my rain suit. I got my Dramamine. So give me a list of everything else we need for the fishing trip. Okay. Yeah, Steve is going to lead us as we're going to not do this song, Steve. Lead us in that blessing as we dismiss this morning.
Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Have a blessed week. You guys are dismissed.